Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another kind of special unplanned video, which is a response to Dave Green, the distributist, longtime buddy of mine. I've known him all the way back since 2016, 2017, all the way back in my libertarian days, being part of this kind of online politics scene, as it were. And he recently took exception to my claim of being a sensible, being on the sensible center left now. And I'm going to review some of his comments live. But first, I thought I'd address the, people who have been unhappy about this development. A lot of you, by the way, have not been. I would say in the history of this channel, the past month is probably one of the most successful months of all time, in the channel's entire history in terms of views and subscribers and so on. But so a lot of people are actually intellectually open. They're curious. They are willing to listen to ideas and the substance of what is said and not simply, you know, surface level labels. So part of what I was doing, of course, was a bit of an IQ filter, which is necessary from time to time. But also, I explain exactly why I've come to this, and I've explained it repeatedly in videos and streams, and now I've explained it in the preface to this recent book, Applied Elite Theory. To explain, back in 2022, I wrote this book, The Populist Illusion, which, you know, was a bestseller, and I'm grateful to all the people who bought it and read it and so on. And people said that they had internalized the lessons of power and politics from elite theory. But that is not actually true. I don't think those lessons actually went in, because when the next election swung round, it's like everybody forgot all of those lessons and degenerated into being mere cheerleaders for Trump and MAGA and populism, or here in this country, it's Farage or whatever other nonsense is going on, immediately forgetting all of the things that I just outlined. And in fact, in the start of this book, I explain where my disillusionment has come from. And remember, back in November 2022, I made a video using this frame of the sensible center. So I've not called myself, quote unquote, dissident right for a very long time now. 2022 was, you know, getting on, exactly three years ago, I made that video. We're now 3 years later. And let me just read what I wrote at the start of this book. I said, readers should understand that when reading all these pieces, that things that appear obvious now were by no means obvious when they were written. Nearly every piece here faced resistance of some kind by people who wanted to believe that the picture I painted was too bleak or too cynical. Remember? Get back in the crystal. Remember? Stop being a doomer. Remember? We're going to effing kill you and all that nonsense that people were going on about. Populism remains the thickest of all delusions. It was also notable that some of my own positions changed as I gradually became disillusioned with the online dissident space. One will detect that in earlier pieces from 2022, there is a more radical tone and a greater willingness to claim terms such as dissident right. But as the collection makes clear, this too became captured and ended up being a somewhat facile, silly and increasingly brain dead tool of containment in its own right. And it's important for Dave to understand where I'm coming from, okay? Because as you'll see, he talks about Lauren Southern and denouncements, and it's nothing to do with any of that. There is real substance to the things I'm saying here, so I want people to pay attention. Whatever was vital and alive from such online spaces in 2022 has long since died as the intellectual scene metastasized into a moronic cheerleading squad for political movements that are nakedly a sham. Remember when I was pointing all this out and you were like, now we're going to stand with Captive Dreamer over there. Does anyone remember? This was only like 9 months ago. Some people have got a short memory. Dissident right can no longer serve as a term because there is nothing remotely dissident about it. It's a bit like saying Johnny Rotten was still edgy in 1986 when he was singing songs like Rise. Of course, he was never edgy, even in 1977. And in truth, neither was the dissident right. In fact, so cringe-inducing has the online spectacle become that I personally will have nothing to do with him, which has been my stance since at least 2023. In fact, I looked up November 2022. But some pieces here predate that development. Since then, I have preferred the term sensible centre to describe my own views, and more recently even centre-left, partly because there is no rake on which the online right, such as it even really exists, will not step. In any case, my views are genuinely closer to, say, John Gray, who's a philosopher, or Adam Curtis, the documentary maker that I've done streams on every single week for more than a year now, than they are to, for example, Donald Trump or Nigel Farage, both basically Reaganite, Thatcherite, Israel-worshipping types, or Tommy Robinson, who, if you ask me, is basically an agent of that little country in the Middle East. I'm not on the same side. There is no respect in which I can be said to be on the same side of these people. Okay? Friend-enemy distinction, if you remember your Schmidt. And if you ask me, one of the huge concerns in politics right now, if you watch Tucker Carlson or Fuentes or any other people like this, is the influence of that little country over our politics, and especially over on the right wing of politics. So as long as that remains the case, and as long as people refuse to learn that lesson, I'm not going to lend my voice to being on that side of things. I'm against all of that. And you have to remember that in this country, Thatcher still absolutely grips the mind of rightists in general. Okay, absolutely. So anyway, let's carry on. As these pieces progress, one might detect also an increasing disillusionment with what I have called politics as a circus, an endless clown show in which almost nothing substantial ever happens, even if every moment feels important as it happens before evaporating into the void of the next news cycle. Even enduring themes which seem important, such as the perpetually discussed culture wars, turn out to be just another stage-managed and curated form of entertainment. And I mentioned Tucker Carlson. It's interesting that he had Anna Kasparian on. Do you remember Anna Kasparian and the Young Turks and the woke and, you know, all of the madness from 5 years ago? Well, Anna Kasparian and Tucker Carlson buried the hatchet. They said, looking back, that was all a psyop. Well, that was all we were all being worked, weren't we, by these more sinister forces. So let's put all our old differences aside and unite against the proper enemy. Okay. If Tucker and Anna Kasparian are having those conversations, then you could say it depends on, you know, on a less popular level or on a more intellectual level, you know, me and someone like Caleb Maupin can also have, or has, or any of these other people on the left who are not woke, okay, who don't like the direction that things are going, who, you know, are critical of the neoliberal establishment. Why shouldn't we have those conversations, right? That's what our enemies don't want us to do. They want you on a never-ending cycle of complaining about the trans issue or, you know, watching Matt Walsh or some garbage, okay? The truly radical thing to do in a moment like that is to break that frame and to say, no, we're going to step through that. That's what you want us to do. Well, we don't live in the enemy's frame. We will have conversations on our own terms and discard these useless distinctions between right and left and so on. Because the fact of the matter is that we live under an oligarchy. An oligarchy of billionaires who happen to love this little country in the Middle East. So that's the so until people are able to point to the actual structural issue and be like, look, all of these figures that they threw in our way, okay, who've turned out to be phonies or working for some sort of agenda. Okay, and I would include in that Yarvin and BAP and all of these figures. Like, we didn't know. Well, you've got to understand that a lot of the things that I say are not just born out of theory, but born out of the actual experience and things coming to light that we couldn't have possibly known about 5 years ago or in the era of COVID or BLM. Like so much of this stuff that has become much more visible, okay, in the events of since Trump 2.0 and, you know, arguably from, October 2023. So much more of this is now out in the open, which was obscured from us back then. We couldn't have possibly known a lot of this stuff, but now we do. So we must update our stances, our theories, with new information, okay, in the true nature of judging things by empirical reality, okay? And I'll get more onto this soon because it relates to other things that Dave says. I'm going to watch Dave in real time, but I'm just laying out exactly why I'm making these moves right now, okay? What else did I say? So even enduring themes that seem important, such as the perpetually discussed culture wars, turn out to be just another stage managed and curated form of entertainment. In fact, the system likes nothing more than symbolic battles of this kind. Of course, real people lose their jobs or their genitals, and in the case of Charlie Kirk, even their lives over this. But in the final analysis, nothing disturbs the actual structure of things, as Fernand Boudel might say, in the longue durée. The same ruling class, and this is important. I hope Dave watches this and really grasps what I'm saying here, okay? The same ruling class that sat pretty in 1995 or 2005 or 2015 still sits there now. In some cases, they even went to the trouble of switching a blue hat for a red one, expecting no one to see through the cascade, through the charade. Some people did, of course, but most did not. And the people who did not, who read this book, by the way, or who read me or watch this channel, there's no fucking excuse for it, is there? There's just no excuse. I'm not being contrarian. I am literally pointing out what is happening and saying, don't be taken for a fool. To a wall of never-ending copes. You've got to understand, Dave, how frustrating that is. Anyway, let's continue. Some people did, of course, but most did not. The same technocratic agenda, which might be achieved and justified by Keir Starmer in Britain, will be achieved and justified by Donald Trump in America. After all, both meet regularly with the likes of Larry Fink, BlackRock, or Larry Ellison, Oracle. And both have an uncanny knack of making decisions to their benefit. The same foreign policy agenda, which has endured since the time of Bush and Blair, marches on regardless of who occupies the White House and number 10. But in an era of never-ending news, slop, as I so often call it, it is practically impossible to get people to focus on these things, especially if they are more excited about, for example, putting up flags everywhere, which is what happened in Britain in the summer of 2025, or the latest antics of their favourite populist clowns, or perhaps the latest feuds between their favourite podcasters. Candice Owens said, what now? Well, that stuff is fun, of course, while politics and the business of power is boring. Okay, so I'll leave there. The preface does go on. Okay, you can see all of the things that I'm talking about are not new positions. They're things I've been saying for years now. For years. So the idea that this is some like big about change, some massive shift, it's not true at all. I've been saying these things for a long time. I frequently just can't believe how idiotic people have been. When, in the case of MAGA, it was naked and it was in front of you, and there were people, not just me, but like Devin Stack and Nick and Richard Spencer and many other people who were pointing it out blow by blow, week after week, time, oh, you're just being contrarian. You just can't be happy. You're just being a black pillar, get in the crystal, cope, 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 cope. No, I was pointing out the iron law of oligarchy in practice. Dozens upon dozens of articles pointing it out in real time, which you lot chose to ignore. So what's the feedback loop? What's the message I get? Maybe I'm not on the same side as these people after all.
Right. I guess, you know, in this case, you know, as opposed to the people who apostatized last year during November, this November, you know, there are actual complaints. You know, this year, who's it this year? This year, it's Academic Agent. You know, next year, it'll be somebody else, right? Academic Agent and Todd Lewis denounced the dissident right. Who the hell is the dissident right?
Now, it's worth mentioning that me and Todd did not denounce the dissident right. What we did is highlighted its structural shortcomings and why it failed as a theoretical, intellectual, and political project. It wasn't, as Dave is framing it, somebody kind of coming out and saying, I didn't denounce anybody. I haven't denounced any person. I haven't said, oh, those people are despicable. I want nothing to do with them or anything like that. I've said this project, which I was a part of at one point back in 2022, I explained why I think it's been a failure and how it has been co-opted by the forces of populism, brain dead gruggery, vibes, captive dreamer, all this shite, okay, who presented themselves as dissidents, you know, and have ended up as nothing but a cheerleading squad, a bunch of chuds, basically. Kingpilled, all these people. Well, we might as well name them. I didn't say, oh, I denounced Dave or anything like that. What I said was, why did this fail? That's what I talked about. That's what me and Todd talked about. So anyway, let's carry on. This is quite far removed from Lauren Southern moaning about, you know, being abused by some bloke or whatever. It's completely worlds apart. In fact, I'm surprised that Dave even thinks of Lauren Southern as somebody who was part of the dissident right. But anyway, let's continue.
Right, who knows? They condemn a bunch of ideas that are just, you know, like they're boomer ideas. They're idiotic populist ideas. They're not intellectual positions. And you know,
but this is important because there has been a massive blurring between the sorts of things we were discussing a few years ago. And a lot of those ideas have been mainstreamed. And the boundaries between the popular and the populist and the, you know, mainstream MAGA and the stuff that we've talked about has been blurred. It's been blurred quite a lot. And I would argue it's been co-opted and sapped of any kind of radical potential it may have ever had. It's been, you know, dragooned into the service of votes for Donald Trump and support, and now apologetics for Donald Trump. That is the core of what I've been saying. Now, this week, as I'm recording this, more people have started to be critical of the things that Trump has been doing. But that has not been the case over the past, you know, I was critical, really, from day one of the Trump bombing, because I could see what was happening. I was tracking who the power players were and what the clues were in the way the media was positioning itself and how key people who were enemies of Trump in the past now were for Trump, the Levins and the Shapiros and so on, who are so publicly having a crash out right now. I was pointing it out back then. And, you know, other things like when Matt Gaetz was blocked from the appointment that was made, I knew we were in for a rough ride. But people didn't want to hear it because they weren't thinking, they weren't being intellectual, they were vibes-based, they were running on emotion, they were, you know, and those things are not anything, like, if you want to talk about, you know, core principles of quote-unquote dissident right. You know, we used to talk about an intellectual vanguard. Well, that's not an intellectual vanguard, that's plebeian. But if the leaders of that supposed vanguard are also engaging in this plebeian behavior, then you have to conclude that that is, you know, a system is what it does. And that is what it had become. Nothing that I was a part of, and something I haven't been a part of for a long time. Because I will always make sure that I just tell the truth, that I'm not part of someone else, you know, the thin end of someone else's wedge, as Scrump puts it. What have I been saying this past week? Your anger, their agenda. Your anger, their agenda. Your anger, their agenda. It's a very simple concept. And for some reason, doesn't seem to go in. People want to focus on, you know, want to focus on this as if it's something trivial, like a Lauren Southern drama spaz out or something. It's not. It's actually substantive and important. But anyway, let's carry on.
What's the response supposed to be in this development? I mean, that's just, everyone was asking me to cover this issue. Oh, you got to cover academic agents moving away from the right. No, it's bullshit. I mean, it's not bullshit. I mean, I do respect academic agent Nima Parveeni. He's a great thinker, but this, I don't know what possesses people.
Thanks, Dave. I respect you too. Also a great thinker.
People to do this little performance. It's, I'm just telling you, it's like clockwork. It's always the label. At this point, everybody has denounced everybody else. And when everyone denounces everyone else, the denouncement is always targeted towards the dissident right. So it's like that Spider-Man meme. Like everyone points fingers and go, "I denounce the dissident right." No, I denounce the dissident right.
I don't think denounce is the right word. I don't think denounce is the right word. What I am doing is making it clear where me and also people who think like me stand vis-a-vis current discourse. And in the current discourse, as it has been for the past 9-10, really for the past 2 years, where it went really crazy was when there was the Trump assassination attempt and so on. But I think people were in the grip of a kind of madness, which I was not part of. In fact, I was writing essays like, you know, MAGA is the final fulfillment of the Kali Yuga and things like that, which you can read in this book. So I don't think denounce is the right word. I think what I'm trying to do is stake out a territory for the things that I actually believe. And if a label like, you know, dissident right puts me on the same side as Patrick Casey and Captive Dreamer and, you know, all of these other clowns, I am not on that side, or Tommy Robinson or people like this. I am simply just not on their side. Because they're on the side of an agenda that is not mine. Friend, enemy, remember? The number one. So if all of the people who you consider to be on the wrong side of that divide are calling themselves dissident right, the strong feedback loop you get is, well, that means I can't be one. Especially when I'm interested in, you know, the actual power structure and drawing attention to, you know, who the actual people are making all of this happen. You know, all my stuff on Larry Ellison and Blair and, you know, and funders and billionaires in the background making things happen. This is clearly a huge part of the issue that people should be focused on, but they just don't want to hear it. They don't want to look at that stuff, frankly, because they're not serious. And I include most of the people who self-identify as dissident right in that kind of bucket. They're still kind of trying to position themselves in the same kind of area as Matt Walsh. And if you're doing that, you're clearly not serious, because you haven't been paying attention to what has actually been going on. And there were a lot of questions that we had a few years ago that have been answered. The data is in. There's just no excuse at this point not to see, you know, where you should be. And if you ask me, the correct development is what's happening between Tucker Carlson and Anna Kasparian. But Anna Kasparian and Tucker Carlson aren't dissident right. They're very mainstream figures with huge followings. And I would argue that the sets of positions they're coming up with do amount to what I have described as a sensible centre-left. You know, yes, there's a certain amount of social, I don't want to say conservative, I will prefer to say pro-social attitudes, okay? Pro-social attitudes that Tucker Carlson has. But it's wedded to, you know, what Carlyle would say, a distaste for mammonism, a distaste for worship of the market. And, you know, the left have owned the anti-capitalist view for a very long time at this point. The right has been defined by free market economics and, you know, Margaret Thatcher and things like this. So realistically, you know, if you want to go against the entrenched interests, if you want to go against the oligarchy, you end up having to say, well, in the current climate, sensible center left, the sensible bit and the center bit, you know, means you're not woke, and it means that you're against mass immigration. But as I said before, that is also the stated view of somebody like Keir Starmer. We can't pretend that the left are in the same place now that they were 5 years ago, that they're still Antifa and BLM and woke madness. A lot of that stuff is gone. Look at the Young Turks. Look at Ash Sarkar and Aram Bastani. And the left are in a very different place now from where they were back in the summer of love. They've learned their lesson. They've taken a battering. They've learned that woke is, you know, that project is dead. It's on the way out. Put away, as I said before. Now the actual coming to fruition of all of that may be slow to develop, right? But, you know, to actually see it in real life. But it was all there. All of the warning signs, all of the kind of top-level executive decisions were there back in 2021, 2022, even before October 7th. And since then, that all of that has massively accelerated, because many of these billionaires who are funding this sort of stuff, like Bill Ackman and so on, massively turned over that issue. But what that also shows is that woke was always a kind of smokescreen. It was never a true enemy. It was a client. Never really had power in any meaningful sense. It was a mask. The actual face with the people who were funding it, who've switched their allegiances now to some other type of messaging. Lots of people fell for it. I won't fall for it. Anyway, let's carry on.
What's going on? Like, Lauren Southern's coming back in the news. Is she going to denounce the dissident riot for a fourth time? Is she going to come out with another story about how she was abused by a man for the 17th time? Oh my God, the 17th boyfriend I had consecutively while I was still in marriage didn't treat me right. It was probably something like date rape, even though I have no recollection. I didn't go to the police with it. Oh my God, I'm a victim. I denounce the dissident right. And the dissident right raped me. Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to hear. We're going to get an expose by Lauren Southern the next week. And
I honestly don't see the relevance of this Lauren Southern stuff. I think he's tied together things that have nothing to do with each other. None of the stuff I'm talking about has anything to do with, you know, this is just clown show material. I don't know what he's going on about Lauren Southern. Hopefully he stops talking about Lauren Southern soon.
And the thing is that she went out on a date with the dissident right, and then the dissident right went to the hotel room, and then she got into bed with the dissident right, and the dissident right raped her, and then she's only coming forward to denounce the dissident right now because the dissident right abused her beyond all reason, and we all need to denounce the dissident right. I mean, the dissident right just exists.
I mean, I don't know what this is. This is just like drama stuff. I don't know. What are the ideas of Lauren Southern? What does she stand for? Who does she support? I have no idea, because all I ever hear about Lauren Southern is this kind of fluff. I don't really care about this. Hopefully he just stops talking about this soon. I'm going to fast forward a little bit, see if he actually says anything here.
Between groups, if you're not on board with atheism, if you're not on board with Zionism.
Okay, this sounds more substantial.
Pulled over my head by Curtis Yarvin and this CEO technocratic dictator thing. That was the critique 2 years ago. And now the critique.
Okay, so he does seem to be saying something here. Maybe he's talking about Todd Lewis here. Let's have a look.
GC and Charlemagne. And his criticism on that live stream was that I was not technophobic enough. And now this iteration, at least with Todd Lewis and Academic Agent, I think Academic Agent has been consistently somebody who's been more of a technocratic elitist. I mean, I wouldn't have called his ideology that anytime in the past, but he's always kind of been leaning more on that leg of the right wing than anything in the past. But Todd Lewis and Academic Agent now seem to be critiquing the distant right because it's not technophiliac enough. Like, we don't love technology enough on the right. Like, we aren't building the massive AI data centers fast enough. That's the problem with the distant right.
I'm not sure what he's talking about here. I don't remember talking about that with Todd. Maybe we did, but I thought we spent a lot of time talking about how mass immigration and feminism were downstream of capitalism, ultimately, that the, you know, woke is basically liberal capitalist theology writ large, and it's not the fault of cultural Marxism or any of these sort of things that Jordan Peterson would tell you. It's actually, you know, the lived experience of capital run amok. That's the conversation I remember having with Todd. On the technology front, now, one of my parts of my 8-part series, Nima Parvini versus Right Wing Ideas, was on technophobia as an issue. That was not me saying that Dave personally needs to love technology. It was me saying that the right in general does not actually have a coherent response to the arguments made by someone like Tony Blair, which is always kind of like, get on the steam train. If you don't do it, we're going to be outcompeted. I guess they call it the tank problem, where you get competition between firms, competition between countries. And if you don't keep on this game of keeping up with the Joneses, you'll always be left behind. If we don't do it, China will do it type thing. And that is a difficult, they call it the tank problem. And that, all I was saying in that video was, like, there aren't any answers. Like, if you turn to the sources, like Spengler, as an example, or Alul, who we just mentioned, or Uncle Ted or something, they don't really have proper answers, okay? Spengler's answer is like, look, there's nothing we can do about this. So basically, like, even though it's futile, we have to do it. That's what he says in Man and Technics, which is a great book, really tragic, poetic book. And I talked about that in that video. What I was saying is that the right as it stands doesn't have any coherent answer to that. Because, I mean, the Uncle Ted answer is not a goer. It's not, you're not going to get the Butlerian jihad is not going to come. It's not going to come. Okay. And even if it did come, is it something ultimately desirable? And what I was trying to do in that series was seriously think about some of these problems that people, you know, either don't talk about or they prefer not to talk about, etc. So yeah, that's what I was saying there. I can't, if Todd did go on about this, I guess it's up to Todd to address whatever Dave is talking about here, but let's carry on.
Previously, it was because I hadn't read enough Jack O'Loole. I was playing into the machine. I was still relying on all of this technology. Man, I should be a Mennonite and retreat to the woods and just totally eschew modernity in all its forms. And I was having the wool pulled over my head by Curtis Yarvin and this CEO technocratic dictator thing. That was the critique 2 years ago. And now the critique is, I don't like technocracy enough. Or, I'm sorry, did I say me? Well, Todd Lewis certainly has said that he's critiquing me, Academic Agent, not so much. Not that I think it matters one iota. But now it's the exact opposite. Now I do not love technocracy enough. Look, it's fine, guys. And Academic Agent, great videos. He had Caleb Maupin on, which is somebody I found a little bit interesting over the years. But I'll give a counter critique on this.
I think it's worth mentioning that I don't necessarily agree with all of Caleb Maupin's ideas. For one thing, he talked about growth in that video. And, you know, if anybody knows my ideas, I'm kind of a, we need to stop the endless growth model. I would prefer to see the population decline and things like that, which is, again, not a particularly popular view on the right or on the left. But, you know, just because you have guests on, it doesn't mean you endorse all of their views or whatever. I'm a polite interviewer. I don't like to do hostile. I don't like debates, as people know. I like to kind of let people talk and consider what they have to say. He was making a point about growth. You know, I'm intellectually curious and open-minded. And one of the reasons I've always liked Dave is because he generally is willing to challenge his own ideas. He's willing to debate. He's open-minded. So I'm not, I mean, in any way, like, denouncing him or his ideas or anything like that. Anyway, let's continue.
Yes, academic agent and Todd Lewis. This is all bullshit. You know this is bullshit. We both know this is bullshit. We both know that this is a part of the kayfabe. This is where Hulk Hogan joins the New World Order and becomes the bad guy. You know, the fans get really excited. They come back and watch the channel again. You are not part of the left. You are not a centrist. This.
I have to. When I watched this, you know, before I laughed at this bit as again, because essentially saying that this is just like kind of a pro wrestling move, right? That this is just a bit of like slick marketing by me. Really, it's not. Really, there is actual substance behind this. I don't actually believe that the left is in the same place now that they were 5 years ago. For one, I think the Palestine issue, the Israel issue, has shifted the left quite a bit. Look at the Young Turks, look at Bastani and Navarra Media, look at the way that they have become progressively less politically correct, quote unquote, over time, less woke as well. So I see the left, and I have seen the left, actually getting their edge back, coming back into willing to, I mean, not edgy in the way that we would think of it, but some of the stuff they've said. I mean, I've been watching kind of left-wing streams on Israel-Palestine. There's this one guy, this revolutionary guy, he had a group of people on, and they were way more radical on that issue than any of the conversations that I've heard, even the ones between Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes. Like, they were way more radical than Carlson and Fuentes on that particular topic. You know, yes, there is still some of that trappings of, like, you know, like old civil rights movements and things like that. That is embedded, especially in the American left. It is there. But there is quite a large number of non-woke left, I would say. How do I know? I run on this channel. I've got plenty of people, and I've always had people like this in the audience, even back in the days of Unpopular Opinions and so on. There were always stray leftists in the audience, Corbyn voters and socialists. And, you know, there have been people who told me that they're Marxists who've been watching me for a decade. And one of the reasons that they've been able to stick with me all this time is because I have always been open to ideas from all over the place, because of what I'm interested in is what is true. Okay. And I'm, you know, this guy here, Althusser, who I've talked about many times, he was a Marxist. Okay. Does that mean that he never said anything that was true ever, that all of his works must be denounced and they're wrong? Not at all. His description of ideology, the goldfish and the goldfish bowl that I did that video on, a lot of people liked it, left and right, described some aspect of reality, one that people still struggle to break through. Okay, so there is a truth in which me saying I'm sensible and center-left is not simply tactical. It's not simply a pro-wrestling move. There is substance behind it. I do genuinely have a closer view to somebody like John Gray or Adam Curtis, like I said, than to Nigel Farage. I just do. And, you know, that doesn't mean that suddenly I'm a raving blue-haired lesbian or something, right? Or that I love BLM or something like that. Because part of my whole idea is that all of that stuff was a psyop. It was astroturfed. It was actually part of the power structure, the same power structure that the left has fought against. And, you know, this one of the reasons I got Maupin on is because he has a very robust theory about what happened. A very robust theory about how the ruling class were able to, subvert the left. This is the book on the counter gangs, right? So it's not, it's not just superficial, as Dave thinks here. I think there's more substance behind it. Also, I was getting sick of being called, frankly, woke right by James Lindsay and people like this, okay? Constantly calling, like, every part of that is wrong. Not woke, not particularly right either, if you look at ideas of economics and certain other things as well. Anyway, let's see where Dave goes with this.
This is not something you can be in the modern age. The only way you can be a centrist or part of the moderate left is if you fully endorse Zionism in Israel, if you're a centrist at least, whether you denounce all...
I think that's changing. I think that there's a greater willingness to criticize Israel in the center. That's why Keir Starmer, center-left prime minister, recognized Palestine as a state. Even though he's still a Zionist, he's made moves in that direction because they're getting pressured from further to their left to have a more sensible view on the role of Israel in our politics. So I think that's changing. I do think that that's changing ever so slowly, but it is changing.
Differences between groups and certainly biological differences. And if you fully embrace egalitarianism as a reigning moral order, right down to the Mill version of John Stuart Mill and the Veil of Ignorance, all of those great, that's how you get back into the left. If you're not on board with egalitarianism between groups, if you're not on board with atheism, if you're not on board with Zionism, if you're not on board with egalitarianism, or like Mr. Grove said, right? Yeah, someone's saying it's kayfabe. You know, if you're not on board, like it's not Mr. Grove, it was someone else. It's like you can't be on the left and not be totally down with sexual degeneracy and worship of African Americans.
And I'm not so sure that that's true. Like, let's take this philosopher John Gray I talk about. He is not necessarily down with all those ideas. There are tons of non-woke leftists around, I would say. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's necessarily the case. This may have been true 5 years ago, but maybe Dave needs to update his understanding of where the left are as things stand. Also, on the differences between groups, one of my videos was on the concept of racial superiority, for example. Like, if you watch the latest Tucker Carlson, with the one he did with Anna Kasparian, he talks about exactly this issue where, you know, he says, well, we shouldn't set up groups in a hierarchy in that way as a kind of Christian principle. And, okay, I mean, yeah, there are differences between groups. Civilization is incommunicable, all these things that I've said. And I don't disavow any of those things that I may have said on that topic. But I do think that it's like history, if it's taught as anything, as I said in that video, the second part of my 8-part series, I mean, in a way, like a lot of people are saying, like there's this one line that people have got, like, oh, I look at Israel and I wish that we could have that for us. I didn't look at Israel and think that. I looked at Israel and thought, like, this is, like, if this is the logical end point of the stuff I've been saying, that's not where I want to be. clearly what Israel is doing and has been doing is morally wrong. It is politically like silly, because I don't see how it's going to have legs in the long run. It's just like, I don't think that we should be in, like, I don't look at that and say, oh, I wish I had that here, because it's barbaric. I don't look with envy on Israel. I see it as an example of something not to be. So, yeah, I mean, you know, anyway, let's carry on.
So, Todd Lewis, are you totally down with gay sexual degeneracy and transgenderism? Are you totally down with worshiping African-American culture, academic agent? 3 years ago, you were condemning all of America. All Americans are just totally negrified. And but, you know, now you're on the left. Now you're on the center. You cannot be on the modern center left without saying that African-American culture is the pinnacle of humanity. That's just what it is. I mean, I was in Princeton. I was in New York. I'm in San Francisco. The same rules still apply. You're not going to get into those circles without.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say that I don't particularly want to be in those circles. What I'm looking at the moment really are the true kind of the economic left, and a kind of more serious left, you could say. What Dave is talking about is this kind of like cultural studies left that has emerged. You know, he's right. It's there. He's right. I mean, I think it's diminished somewhat since 2020, but he's certainly right that it's still there. I would just say that I don't necessarily want to be part of those circles. And also that there are huge numbers of people on the, who, you know, have problems with capitalism, are coming from the left, that see the things that I point out, understand some of the things that I talk about. You know, they're not necessarily up for mass immigration. So I see potential in some of those people. Okay, not going to get them all, obviously. Not going to necessarily go to their dinner parties or be part of, you know, the SOAS book club or something. But I don't want to be part of that. I'm not really a club guy, as people know. So anyway, let's carry on.
Saying these things, you're not going to, no one's going to forget that you're a wrong thinker. So like, what are you going to do? You're going to get a speaking engagement. Someone's going to ask.
You see, the thing is, even on that, you'd be surprised, to be honest, right? You'd be surprised because, you know, I still go to events occasionally. I try to keep them to a minimum because I'm an antisocial sort of fellow. But the people I run into, like, I run into people from my old life, I'll just put it that way, more than once recently, and they're not as, it's not like I've got leprosy and they can't ever speak to me or they just never want to hear from me ever again. They're supportive. They've generally been supportive because they, you know, a lot of these people who ostensibly are Marxist or on the left or left-wing professors or so on, they see what's happening too. They understand the situation. Like, a lot of these people aren't as ideologically blinkered as Dave is making out. Some of them are, but in the real world, things are a bit more complex. And especially in this country, in Britain, I would say there's a good bulk of sensible people who position themselves on the left, but nonetheless are realist in the same way that I am. So it's not like what I'm saying is the picture that Dave is painting here is too stark in my view. Okay. And look, you've got to understand we're coming from a place of extreme polarization. In my view, clandestine foreign forces are trying to foment civil war in this country, and they have been doing similar things, attacking the fabric, the social fabric in America too. And Dave is someone who's always been willing to debate the left and have these sorts of conversations. I thought would be, you know, he'd be able to see this kind of space I'm trying to carve out here, and the utility of it, the importance of it. Because ultimately, if we want anything to get better, okay, we need to bridge this divide. We need to have clever people who are coming from different places or different starting points, coming together and having these conversations. Not going to agree on everything, obviously. But, I mean, look, just this past week, I've talked to Caleb Maupin, who's, you know, literally a communist, and Haz, who's, again, literally the chairman of the American Communist Party. The sky didn't fall down. You know, the heavens didn't open. We were able to talk. We didn't have to shout at each other. Tucker Carlson had Anna Kasparian on just yesterday. So it's possible, and it's possible to do it sensibly, especially if everybody, left and right, recognizes who some of the real enemies are. People like Ben Shapiro, who we want out of politics. We want to stop them influencing things, making life worse for everyone. You know, I can never retire, and I can't, live in the town that I grew up in, according to Ben Shapiro. That neoliberal center is the focus of what we're attacking. If we can find people who agree on 50% of the stuff coming from the left, why not try to talk with some of these people? Okay, and I mean, on the social issues, I mean, I still maintain that a lot of culture war stuff is slop. A lot of it has been a distraction, and a lot of it has been a vector for infiltration, for example, by the TERFs. You know, there's this whole group of TERFs against the trans. But have you noticed how so many of them are also like fully paid up Zio shills as well? I pointed that out before. So you have to adjust your views according to new information. Anyway, let's carry on.
One of these critical questions about race or about sexual identity, and then you're gonna immediately fail your leftist and centrist bona fides. And that's the real world, right? That's what being a centrist or a leftist means in the real world. And so I know that Acton McAgent and Todd Lewis don't support those things. So in the real world, regardless of how much they might hate the label, they are right-wingers. And in the real world, since they're not aligned to Ben Shapiro or Dinesh D'Souza, they are not part of the mainstream right wing. So being part of the right wing and not being part of the mainstream, that means that they are, by definition, drum roll please, they are part of the dissident right. The same dissident right that raped Lauren Southern, the same dissident right that drummed Alex Kashida off of the internet and ruined her life, the same dissident right that caused boomers to like bad economic policy like 50 years mortgage, the same dissident right that caused my rose bush to wither, the same dissident right that caused me to get a cavity last year, the same dissident right that makes November wet and drippy as opposed to being perfectly sunny. Oh my God, they're a dissident right, did it again. It tricked you into being dissident right. And this is just bullshit. Great marketing campaign, guys. You did a wonderful job. But you know, unless you are endorsing Lizzo or Scott Wiener, you're not a centrist in a meaningful way. Unless you're on board with Ben Shapiro's foreign policy, you are not a centrist in any way. This is the reality, and you don't get to change labels. I mean, this is the other thing too. Academics in particular, and this is something that irritates me to no end. They're obsessed. I don't know what slide am I on, right? They are obsessed with labels for their ideology. Something that I have tried.
I mean, I'm really not obsessed with labels. I've spent the past 3-4 years raging against ideology, saying that ideology is a post-hoc justification for what power does, and trying to be as non-ideological as possible. Okay, so the obsession with labels thing is not strictly speaking true. I have always wanted people to listen to what I say and not get hung up on labels, not get hung up on labels. One of the reasons I've had to make this more explicit, okay, and you've got to remember, there's the British context as well as the American context. is because I don't like the direction that people have been going in. I think the direction that people have been going in at the moment is stupid. And I need to find a way to differentiate what I'm doing and what I'm about from a bunch of stupid stuff that's going on. You mean you really want the author of The Populist Delusion to get behind the kind of flag campaign? Right. While, as I've said before, while everybody was going nuts about flags, Tony Blair was implementing digital ID, which was then brought in really swiftly without any sort of public debate or democratic vote or accountability for the government. They just said, yeah, you're having it. If you want to talk about, technocratic dictatorship, there was a bit of post-liberal actual tyranny in action that took place. What did people do? They spent all summer going on about flags, which was all meant to culminate David Bell is going to cause a civil war, and the Tommy rally is going to change everything. Didn't change anything at all. There was a big rally. The energy dissipated, as I said. Tommy buggered off to Israel and went on a humiliation tour. So, again, think about what you're asking me to be a part of. I don't want to be associated with anything of that. A lot of it is directly against anything that I've argued for, especially the Israel part. So it's important to, have a way of saying, well, look, I'm not part of this thing that you keep on claiming I'm a part of. I have nothing to do with it at all. I loudly said, this is not the right way to go. I've made videos on things like banning the burqa recently that people should go and watch. Again, stupid policy that hasn't really been thought through, which is mindlessly cheered on by slop brains all the time. Someone else's agenda, your anger, someone else's agenda all the time. So it's important, because people don't listen to things that are being said, because people cannot deal with detail, big ideas. In the age of the internet, what better way than to say, well, look, if you lot want to do all of that and call it dissident right, knock yourselves out. I'm not that. I'm this thing over here. And it's not much of a departure from the sensible center thing, which I've been saying since 2022. Only now there's an economic aspect to it as well, because we're faced with a Nigel Farage government in this country that, as far as I can tell, is going to be warmed up Thatcherism again. That it's like people looked at Trump and the lessons of Trump, didn't learn any of the lessons of Trump, any of the shortcomings, any of the disasters that have been from Trump 2.0. And they've said, yeah, I want that over here. I want that bullshit over here now. So we're just going to have to pretend that we didn't see what's just happened in America and do the same shit over here. Anyway, let's carry on.
I specifically used a shitty label for my YouTube channel when I started it in 2000. I guess I started the blog in like 2013, like in the Stone Age, when people still used Blogspot or whatever. Was it WordPress back then? Yeah, this was the WordPress era. And I called the distributist or the data distributist because I was a data scientist. I picked that name because it started with a D and because I wanted to pick an ideology that no one cared about, which I thought would be distributism. Now, I like Taylor Belloc. I like G.K. Chesterton. I admired the distributist authors. I admire Mondragon, even though it was never officially distributist. It was sort of in the spirit of that. This is something that, a philosophy I admired, but it was done to kind of get around labels and to get at substance. Academics somehow really care about the words we use for things. And this is part of my problem.
Well, I do care about the words, the meanings of things. Like, for example, friend, enemy. if your friend-enemy distinction at this point is right-left, right, rather than understanding who the real enemy is, then you didn't really understand Schmidt. You didn't really understand him. If you've watched what's happened in the past year and not seen where the real battle lines are, you haven't been paying close enough attention. Or you willingly choose to ignore it and choose it and make a different battle line. But the battle line has never been clearer than it is right now. So yeah, words matter. They do matter. Read George Orwell. One of my original videos on this channel was about the language games of power. I've always been interested in the power of words. And I do think it's important to recognize that the dissident right label hasn't meant anything since 2022. Not dissident, for one. And increasingly, it doesn't even stand for any ideas. It just stands for the special interest of that little country. Or cheerleading Trump. Or creating conditions to bring about a Nigel Farage government. And facilitate the Julia Hartley Brewerization of this nation. So, you know, and there have been actual real issues where I have taken, not out of contrarianism, out of consistency, a line that goes against where a lot of people on the right are. For example, recently on the whole BBC thing, remember, your anger, their agenda. I was like, a lot of people think, oh, we can destroy the BBC and that will be a huge victory. I'm thinking, hold on a second. One of the oldest national broadcasters in the world, if not the oldest national broadcaster in the world, one of the few genuinely British non-corporate run institutions that we still have in this country. Yes, it's gone woke. Yes, it's been, you know, a festering hive of liberalism and so on for the past few years. Absolutely. Okay. But still, it exists and it is ours. Rather than destroy it. And then what have you got? Elon Musk owned X. Great. Brilliant. And, you know, unopposed Zionist messaging. That's why I focused on the character of Robbie Gibb, this guy with the Jewish Chronicle. This is why I focused on actually not taking the line that a lot of the right did take, not out of contrarianism, but out of a genuine principle. Do you want a foreign power to subvert and to take over a venerable British institution like the BBC? Which, yes, it's lost its way, but it could be saved. Now, a lot of people are still thinking in an old culture war lens. They're thinking, oh, actually, there's a more important friend-enemy distinction than the one I'm talking about. It's the, you know, it's against the left or something. Right? No. This enemy is the prescient one right now. So on that issue, and again, there've been other issues where I've taken, like Ofcom was another one, 4chan versus Ofcom. That was another issue. Not, again, not contrarianism. If you follow what I'm saying, there is a consistent logic to all of the positions I've had. They're not contrarian. They come out of following consistent principles. Unlike a lot of people on the right who, for example, claim that they don't worship at the feet of Mammon, that they're not like hyper-capitalists and they disavow Thatcher and so on. And yet when push comes to shove, there they are, you know, cheering on one of the absolute central kind of obsessions of the free market British right, the Thatcherite right, which has been destroying the BBC because it's state-run, because it's socialist or whatever. Okay, so there is a substance to this. It's not just performative, as Dave thinks.
With this thing, academics don't like to be associated with groups because groups are always stupid. Groups are always going to do stupid things like...
Well, especially mass groups. Especially mass groups. If your whole thing is, you know, the way to achieve things is through an elitist vanguard, and people consistently actually just put in their lot with mass movements, which are inherently stupid, then yeah, absolutely, you're right.
Like, ask for 50-year mortgages, or I don't know, buy Dinesh D'Souza books. your groups are always going to do stupid things like that, and they're always going to be median people. This is always the problem with academics, that they never want to be associated with the median person. But the second that they're popular, the second that they have a following, unless the following is exclusively limited to the university, then immediately they will be associated with a movement that clusters around the median person. You can see this with Slavoj Žižek, right? You know, the Slavoj Žižek arc that we witnessed over...
But I never want to. I mean, you remember, my whole thing was the network of tens, Dave. Not the median person, not a mass movement, not a populist kind of head-banging nonsense thing that is happening right now. Literally, I've always been anti-populist. If there's one thing anybody knows me for, it's for elite theory. So of course I'm going to be against this. It's not, I don't necessarily think it's an academic. There have been plenty of academics who support mass movements or popular movements. But in my case, you're absolutely right. I don't want to be associated with stupid mass movements that are literally just willingly, you know, forging ahead with somebody else's agenda. And in the case of the British, right, that somebody else is that little nation in the Middle East. Absolutely, you're right. Why would I? Friend-enemy distinction, remember? And if the network of tens turn out to be a network of 5 out of 10s because they are fucking stupid, then they weren't the network of tens in the first place. Stands to reason, I think.
The last 20 years. And Slavoj Žižek was this ex-communist guy. I think he was still a Marxist. But he joined academia, and he was... You know, for the first part of his career, he was just the most radical thing ever. This guy is going to stand up and defend.
All right, he talks about Slavoj. I think that's enough. He talks about Slavoj Žižek and makes a few analogies. So anyway, hopefully that answers some of the, you know, if Dave watches this, I hope it clears up exactly where I am, what I'm thinking about, what I'm doing. I haven't denounced anybody, okay? But I am, for a variety of reasons, you know, trying to forge a different way right now, because frankly, I think the first way failed. It just failed. Whatever it was that I thought may have happened back in 2022 has turned out to be a failure. It hasn't worked. We have to objectively look at that, okay, and be like, well, that didn't go anywhere. It got co-opted. It ended up being somebody else's way, somebody else's project, somebody else's thing, populist thing. It ended up being, you know, slop brain nonsense is what it ended up being. Okay. And I would say you have to have the honesty to look at that and be like, okay. And now I'm trying to look at a variety of different thinkers and different sources, left or right, to try to answer the number one question. We are all in the shit, okay? All of us are in the shit. Whether you're left or right watching this, we're in the shit, and we want to get out of the shit. How can we do it? And if you ask me, step number one on that, whatever all the other answers are, step number one has to be, you have to push the control of the likes of the Mark Levins and Ben Shapiro's and Lindsey Graham's and so on, and the lobby and all of that, and all of these clandestine forces in British politics behind figures like Tommy and so on, and, you know, Richard Tice and all these characters who answer to somebody else, not the people. They answer to some other agenda, some other thing. They masquerade as patriots, but actually there's something else. This is the number one thing that needs to be sorted out, the corruption at that level. And you can't say it's not a popular message, because Tucker Carlson in the space of about 4 hours got 500,000 views saying that. and he was joined by a leftist called Anna Kasparian. So that's where a lot of Americans are, and increasingly it's going to be where a lot of British people are too, once they see through this bullshit, once they come to understand that populism and MAGA and so on has become, maybe it didn't start like that, but it has become a massive psyop. It has become somebody else's agenda, wearing your patriotism, wearing your people's movement as a skin suit. Until everybody gets that, gets off that train, starts thinking along the lines that I am, I can't say, "Oh, well, I'm not part of that." I'm pointing out what it is and saying, "Look, that can be over there. I won't stand with them." Lots of other people at this moment make different choices. Well, I've made mine. And honestly, I'd be surprised if Dave doesn't watch this and think, well, yeah, you made a lot of good points there. I probably agree with 95% of it. Then who cares about the late? Like, who cares what you call it? If what I'm saying, like, who cares? Do you agree with me, yes or no, to talk about substance? You said you don't care about labels. Do you care with, did you agree with the stuff I've said in this video? And if you don't, then that's a substantial, like a genuine split and disagreement. But we can get to that if, when, possibly never, that comes. Okay, like I said, pick up books. I don't know where they've gone. Apply Elite Theory is the new one. Buy it now. Courses in the academic agency, but most importantly of all, everyone, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.